We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh, my God. He's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here!
What's shaking, wrestling fans? It is Monday, February 24th, and it is one of the most historic days in wrestling history. Well, just so much stuff happened today that we're going to be looking forward to talk to is the launch of the WWE Network, Hulkamania returned to the WWE, Brock Lesnar was in the house, Undertaker made his return, WrestleMania 30 is really starting to take shape, and most importantly, you are gathered here on Mega Powers Radio now for the new NPR Raw Post Show, where we have so many surprises in store for you. We got a new logo, we got new segments that we'll be debuting, and most importantly, we're going to be having a new member of the show joining us later. And I can't say who because I want it to be a surprise. But, guys, let me tell you, this is the big time. I really had to call in a lot of favors to get this one here. Really had to do a lot of things I might not be proud about later on down the line. But I tell you what, it's going to be worth it to have this person as a member here on Mega Powers Radio.
Yeah, but why isn't he here now and the rest of us have to be? God, I wish I could come late.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you're a bigger celebrity. You get these privileges. You may be able to stand eventually when you get to that point.
Whoa.
For now, let me introduce who is here with us right now. First off, I'll be hosting the festivities this evening. I'm the station director here at Mega Powers Radio. My name is Mike Payton. Joining me this evening, first off, you just heard him there, Mr. Bad News Depressing Wago, Mr. Stephen Wago.
Yo. Yeah, that was fucking abysmal.
I only do good introductions for our celebrities. For you guys, yeah, I'm just going to botch it every time. It's cool.
Oh, nothing new then.
Also with us, the Bounce House Prince, Mr. Drew White. I get that one.
I thought the leader of the Drew Crew is considered a celebrity. How dare you mock me, Paige?
No, just the members of the Drew Crew. The leader, not so much.
Yeah, from like Foot Drew.
And also with us, the leader of the Smark Out Moment Generation, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
I got a whole generation behind me? Sweet.
Yeah indeed. I don't know what else to refer to it as. There you go. All right, guys. We got an awesome lineup of everything here to talk about. Holy crap. I don't even know where to start, but we just want to let y'all know we will be taking your feedback throughout the show. We got the chat room open at the bottom of the page there. We got the phone lines open. For some reason, it seems like we have two phone numbers. Our classic phone number is 760-512-7247 is the number you want to call in to get in line to come onto the show. We'll be opening the phone lines up at 11:30 as per usual. You can also join us on Twitter using the hashtag RawPostShow. Lots of ways to get involved here on Mega Powers Radio, but first off, we're going to get started with the panel of folks I have here. Guys, I don't even know where to. So you know what? First, we're going to do like I did a few weeks ago. I kind of like doing this at the start. Let's talk about what the biggest thing that you took away today was. Drew, why don't you start us off? What was the most impactful thing throughout this day to you?
Wait, the entire day or just Raw?
The entire day. Let's just say that.
Oh, well then. It's got to be Shrek. Ah, I'm just kidding. It's The Undertaker.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, what? Who's that? I don't know.
All right, thanks, Drew. Steven?
You're welcome.
Fucking wonderful input as usual there, Drew. For me, I'm torn between Hulk Hogan returning and the Undertaker segment, just because other than the dodgy eyeliner, Undertaker looked like an absolute beast, the way he stabbed Brock Lesnar's hand and put him through the table. But it's also good to see Hogan come home and not in that other wrestling company that's going bankrupt, so...
That was some real wild, wild west type shit. That was some tough as nails type things. Tony, what about you? What was the biggest thing you took away today?
The biggest thing is an overwhelming sense of being underwhelmed. Let me put it that way.
Oh, that's not a great way to start.
Wait, are you trying to tread on my gimmick with the depressing news shit here, Tom?
My goodness. Well, I'll tell you what the biggest thing for me today was. I can't believe you guys even mentioned it. For me, it was absolutely the beginning of the WWE Network. Now, as many of you can probably figure, I am nocturnal. I am usually up at night. And I just happened to be up all night last night. I was working on things. I was watching this long, huge 9-part baseball documentary. No need to get into that on a wrestling show. You guys would have no interest. But I eventually got to the point where it was like 7:30 or something like that, and I started seeing the advertisements. In 90 minutes, the WWE Network launches, and I'm like, well, crap, if I've been up this long, I might as well stay up. So I was lucky enough to be up at the exact moment that the network launched. We get greeted by Vince McMahon. He says, "Welcome to the WWE Network." You know, in that voice that only he can, clenching his fist. And it started off with a WrestleMania Classic show, talking about all these extra interviews that they had for WrestleMania 1, the main event on it. It was a really kind of fun way to start things off. I feel like they could have done something that was a live experience for the first show that they had, but I guess that's what's starting now, actually, our competition. It's the Monday Night Wars once again, folks, for the post-show this time.
We had to start first.
I'm sure that Josh Matthews and Renee Young will give us a run for our money.
Well, I don't see Awesome Piano Man here once again. No, I know he's got other life things going on that he has better, more important than to be hanging out in this chat room. But we do have a few people here: Brian the Brain, iRadius, a few other guests in there holding things down. Thanks for joining us, folks. I don't know what else we could talk about here. So why don't we go ahead and start with how the show ended. We had Brock Lesnar being hyped the whole night that he was going to be coming out. Comes out with Paul Heyman. Talks about how Triple H gave them an open contract for WrestleMania. However, Brock Lesnar was not satisfied with that. He wanted the title shot. He wanted to make history and dominate, as he has all through his career, in college sports, in his first run in WWE, in his MMA career, and he wanted to do it once again at WrestleMania 30 by winning the title. However, he was denied that, and as such, he was just going to walk out and not do anything. However, before he had the chance to, we heard the three dongs. And you know what that means. The Undertaker is in the house. The lights went dark, the fireballs lit, and he slowly swayed his way down to the ring. I still love that entrance. There is absolutely nothing like it. And since we only get to see it so few times, it's even more special now. So I was just absolutely glued to my TV as he was walking down. His outfit actually looked extra cool tonight. It looked like something out of Game of Thrones with that belt buckle thing that he had on there. Love that. He comes out. Brock Lesnar signs the contract. He slams the pen into Undertaker's chest. Undertaker does not take too kind of that. So to respond, when Brock Lesnar has his hand down on the table, he stabs Brock Lesnar's hand with the pen and then choke slams him through the table, because, of course, you can't have a contract signing without somebody going through the table. And he looks up at the WrestleMania sign, and I guess that makes things official, because that's what that means when you look at that sign. WrestleMania has Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker for the streak. Guys, what'd you think about this segment? And now what we finally have is official for who's going against the streak this year. Drew?
I liked it. You know, it was straight to the point. I mean, at least towards the end it was. The only thing I really took away from this was that I feel like Undertaker's just entrance, his walking down, it just gets longer every year. Besides that, I really did enjoy this segment.
Well, it's really fortunate for a guy who's getting only older and older in age that he gets to slowly walk down. If he was the Ultimate Warrior, I don't think he'd still be doing that.
Yeah, the one concern I have with this matchup is that I just feel like Undertaker's just going to be dead after this match, kind of like how Big E was dead tonight.
Well, if anybody's going to be dead and come back, it's the Undertaker. Come on.
Yeah, isn't that his thing?
He's going to be alive.
Guy's been buried alive, Drew, and he's been put in caskets
many times.
He got hit with an axe in the casket. I mean, shit.
It's set on fire.
He's just going to call it quits this time. He's going to be like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I saw the spirit of the Undertaker's body leave, and then it had to have come back somehow.
I mean, if you can survive a poem by Heidenreich, you can survive anything.
If you can survive a dropkick by Maven, he can survive it.
Steven, what'd you think about our segment tonight with Brock Lesnar and Taker?
I think it's just obvious that CM Punk's going to return and wrestle Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
Yeah. Nah, it was awesome. I love every time the Undertaker teases a match at Mania. My favorite one's still the one he did with Triple H, where they did no words whatsoever and looked at the sign, but this is pretty close too.
Tony, what about you, man? You're the one who seems to be negative here. Did this at least get you a little bit excited?
Well, see, my first statement of the underwhelming kind of thing, it doesn't necessarily mean that I dislike what we're going to be getting for WrestleMania in certain ways. It's just that I saw it all coming, so the whole build-up for this whole night was just like, you just get on with it. And the way that they accomplished some of it was a little bit underwhelming. For this was actually kind of cool that they did the little pen stabbing. I think maybe that should void the contract a little bit, but like you said, choke slamming somebody through a table is sort of like signing it, and then looking up at WrestleMania is indicating when the match is going to happen. So maybe that's like an unofficial way to sign the contract. But I knew long ago that they had to have had this match. A lot of people were trying to throw a bunch of curveballs of what about John Cena, what about Sheamus, or maybe Ryback. I know the people were rumoring that for a while. Went into facing an Undertaker. It had to be Brock Lesnar. So what is good about this is it finally gives me that spot to be able to go, like, I fucking told you so. And I think it's actually a better match that's going to be on the card. So that's good.
So to answer the one, like, plot hole you're seeing here, I think they would have, in any other person there, had the person bend down, pick up the contract, and sign it. But because it's The Undertaker, because he's old, and because he's got this big, heavy robot, I don't think it was just able – he wasn't able to do that. So,
maybe that's why.
Plus, you don't have much dexterity in MMA gloves to sign, so probably the best choice.
Maybe they were just really trying to build up something for the WWE Network where we're going to have, like, a special behind-the-scenes kind of thing where Undertaker goes to the back, and then they're like, hey, but you actually really do need to sign it. And they just, like, signs it real quick. He puts that little Parker pen and just clicks it. All right,
he puts on, like, his little glasses that he holds at the tip of his nose, like, oh, okay.
IRS comes and notifies it.
Oh, goodness. So what about this match, though? Are any of us looking forward to this, Tony? I mean, do you think this is going to be a WrestleMania highlight as Undertaker has managed to have every single year in the past few?
Well, Undertaker is as close as you could possibly get to usurping Shawn Michaels' number one favorite wrestler of all time spot for me. So I have to be excited about that. I mean, when I went to WrestleMania last year, the thing I was excited the most to see was the Undertaker's entrance, let alone the match with CM Punk. And I'm not the biggest Brock Lesnar fan out there, but he is entertaining. So I can't imagine these two having a bad match. But I am a little bit worried in the same kind of sense that Drew is, that maybe The Undertaker can't handle it physically. So that's going to be tough. And if they can get around that, it should be either the best match of the night or the second best.
What about you, Steven? I know you're our MMA resident expert here. Do you think Brock Lesnar, after all of his years in MMA and aging and his bouts with diverticulitis plus Undertaker's age, do you think these guys are still going to be able to put on a clinic?
You know what? I said the six-man tag with the Shield and the White family was probably going to blow. So apparently my opinion on if a match is going to be good or not shouldn't be taken with a grain of salt. So I have reservations about this match. I wonder if Undertaker's going to end up getting killed just because of how physical and stiff Brock Lesnar can be. But I'm going to stay optimistic and say it's going to be a solid match.
Drew, what about you? Are you looking forward to this?
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm just worried about The Undertaker dying or leaving the company. Yeah, but that's just more personal. I'm not as confident as maybe Mango is on match quality, mainly because usually when Undertaker had, at least his past few ones, he's had people in the ring that you know for certain can lead a match or that Undertaker could lead a match. I mean, Shawn Michaels, Punk, you know, even Triple H to an extent, all of them are able to carry a good match. I don't know if Lesnar could do that nowadays because most of the people he's worked with, aside from Triple H, you know, he didn't really lead the match. So I'm kind of iffy on whether it'll be as good as Undertaker's previous matches in a few years, but I am looking forward to it.
So, Tony, you're the one who kept using this word, underwhelmed. So I think that means you were looking for something different. What were you really hoping to see for these two guys if they weren't facing each other?
This is probably the one that doesn't apply amongst all the other stuff that happened tonight as much to the underwhelmed term, because even though this was something that I saw coming, that little stab with the pen put a little bit of extra oomph to it. If they would have just done the stare down and then he signs it and then he choke slams him, that would have been really just a waste, I think. But that stab with the pen, I'll give him credit on that one.
Anyone else have anything you want to say as far as what you would rather see for these two? Drew, Steven? No? All right. Well, moving on then. Something else big that happened tonight. The return of Hulkamania. We kicked the show off with a cold open, actually. We didn't even get the I don't think we've seen the actual Raw opening in like 3 months. I feel like it's been forever. But we started off with Hulkamania entering, the real American music playing. The crowd goes absolutely nuts, as they should have. Hulk Hogan comes out. Only one appearance at the entire night, which I was a little surprised. I was thinking we'd probably see him like at least in another backstage segment or something, but nope. Comes out, greets the fans, telling them that together, Hulk Hogan, the WWE, the WWE Network, and WrestleMania 30 are going to run wild on you, brother. And then he was gone.
And that's all we got. Little bit of taste of Hulk Hogan. I mean, we don't know if he's going to be there again next week or if we're not going to see him again until WrestleMania. But what did it work out for you guys? Tony, why don't you start us off on this one?
You know what is cool about Hogan coming back? As much as Hogan in TNA was something that we would run down and just be like, oh my God, what is this dude doing? Why is he popping up again? He's too old and all that. When he comes to WWE, it's just, you know, it's totally different. And even though Hulk Hogan coming out should have been a bigger thing to me, it shouldn't have been the start of the night because that kind of killed part of it. I still like the idea of it. I like the idea that he's going to be the host of WrestleMania. I think that that's really cool. But here's where the underwhelming stuff kind of comes into play. Hulk Hogan comes out and he gets a pop, but it's not like, oh my fucking God, it's Hulk Hogan. Partially because we knew it was going to happen. But then
he's
again,
also
that's
Green Bay.
Yeah, but that's, again, something that I had mentioned before, where this stuff, we knew it was going to happen, so it didn't have that little bit of anticipation factor that a lot of other things with surprises and stuff have. But with Hogan coming out there, and he cuts this promo that's a kind of a generic promo about just like, hey, network, awesome, huh? I'm Hogan, see you at Mania. Like, you know, he didn't tease any feud with anybody. There wasn't any kind of a stare down with anybody. He didn't, I don't know, drop kick somebody or like drop, not drop kick. He drop kicked somebody.
Wow, I'd love to see Hogan pull up a fucking drop kick.
We're amazed when Cena does a drop kick. Imagine right. Hogan doing one.
Well, then,
you know what? I bet Hogan could do a better one than Cena.
You would be really excited if he pulled off a fucking drop kick, then, wouldn't you? But you know, like he didn't really do anything though. He just had a generic promo. And it was kind of like that canned response that you see from everything else. It's, you know, when they have Vince McMahon and he goes like, hey, everybody having fun tonight? Okay, that's about it. And you expect Vince to do more. Or when Rowdy Piper pops up and you want to have a really good segment with him, but all he really does is promote the next pay-per-view and doesn't really get to beat Piper. It didn't feel like Hogan to me.
Question, when did Piper ever do a good promo like in the last 5 years?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You want him to do something like he used to do, and he's too tame. And Hogan was too tame.
I get you.
Now, Drew, you're our youngest member here, so you probably don't even remember much of the heyday of Hulkamania, but what did you think about the return of him tonight?
I didn't think I was alive during the heyday of Hulkamania.
He wasn't alive during Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, come on. But, you know, you know, it's just Hulk Hogan. Almost any wrestling fan knows who he is. So you got to be somewhat excited for the return of him. At least a WWE standpoint, of course, we've all shat on him when he was in TNA. But, you know, it's just Hulk Hogan wanting money. And, you know, hey, if he wants to be around WWE, it's all good. But at one point in his promo he cut, he did say this is the turning point in his career, which obviously means he's going to interfere at the end of the Undertaker match, and they're going to start a year-long feud, and that's going to be your streak match next WrestleMania.
Wago, what about you, man? Did you enjoy the return of Hulkamania, brother?
Again, I was a little underwhelmed, but I don't know what I was expecting. I mean, like, I was like, yeah, it's not the same Hulk Hogan experience without him ripping his shirt. But then again, I don't want to see what's underneath, so.
Well, how old is this guy? I thought he looked in phenomenal shape. Last I saw him in TNA, he was, like, limping all the time. He actually had, like, a pretty good stride. He was moving around all right. He looked like he was doing all right. He was, like, he was doing good.
He's, like, 310 or something, I think.
60 years old.
311.
But I'm glad he's back. I mean, I don't know what more I should have expected because I don't want to see him wrestle at Mania, so I don't want to see him tease a feud. So for him to say, hey, this is the network, I'm going to be at Mania, I suppose that's all he could do.
Well, I mean, there's a lot more time. He could still have some type of face-to-face with, like, a Miz or someone like that and just put him in their place quickly. Fandango would be another good person.
Dixie Carter comes out and gets all pissed that he said turning point. He starts throwing all the other references out there. It's a genesis of a new era. WWE was bound for glory with the network. Lockdown, that's anniversary.
I don't know. All right, so just want to remind everyone you are listening to us live on Mega Powers Radio. This is the NPR Raw Post Show, starting once anew with lots of new things going on tonight. Most importantly, we have a special guest who will be joining us tonight. I promise you, stay tuned. I have been assured by his agent that he's going to be here before the conclusion of this program. You do not want to miss this, folks. I am telling you, this guest is going to blow your minds. Now, we're going to be opening up the phone lines to you folks so you can call in and start giving your opinions about tonight's Monday Night Raw. So if you would like to join us, phone number is area code 760-512-7247. I think we have another number displaying on our broadcast page. So if you see that there, that number does work as well. I'm not sure what's going on. We might have our numbers switched. But at this current time, both numbers are working. So call in with whichever one. Get in line. We'll be opening them up for you to talk here and give your thoughts about tonight's show here on Mega Powers Radio. So we're going to take in our first caller from the 412 area code, longtime friend of the show, JD from Pittsburgh. Let's get him in here. JD, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Happy Monday, guys. What's going on tonight?
Happy Monday. Happy WWE Network Day, JD. How you doing, dude?
Yes, I'm doing great, actually. I'll tell you what, though. You talk about a good show tonight. They delivered a pretty good show tonight in Green Bay. I mean, with Hulk Hogan beginning, the ending, it just gave you chills and goosebumps, especially with the stabbing of the pen, as you guys said. I mean, I will be there in New Orleans to see the Taker and Brock. And, I mean, the big question is, does Brock end the streak this year? There's going to be a lot of questions about that. But I'll get to my points here. I mean, basically, I mean, except for one match tonight, I thought they did a really good book show this week, except for one really crummy match. It was a well-booked show. I mean, every match was over about 10 or 15 minutes long, except for maybe two matches. I shouldn't say one match. I should say two matches. But they really kind of did a pretty good show tonight. But the big question is, can they follow it up next week in Chicago? Now, I did hear some rumblings. I don't know if you guys heard this about Chicago. There has been some talk, however, that at first they were thinking about canceling the Chicago show because they weren't sure how the fans would react with the whole CM Punk thing. I don't know if they're still going to go on with that maybe next Monday. We'll have to wait and see. But like I said, tonight was a definitely good show. The Taker and Brock segment just gave you chills up your spine. The Hogan segment was pretty good to start out the show. The Big E Langston, match was good match tonight. You had a pretty good match with the whole Roman Reigns Shield thing. John Cena bit, however, that leaves a question mark now. Is he legitimately hurt? And then, of course, Daniel Bryan in the Yes Movement, he had everyone yesing in Green Bay and screaming out yes. I think we're definitely going to be on the verge of seeing this now with Triple H and Daniel Bryan. They'd be stupid not to put it on. The only thing I didn't like was obviously the first match of the night, but all in all, I got to say, they put on a pretty decent show, and hopefully they have a good rating tonight.
I think they will have a good rating just based solely on the fact that they had a lot of hype going around them with the network, with Brock Lesnar being in the house, with Hulk Hogan supposed to be there. I think it would be absolutely impossible for them not to have a good rating. It's a shame they didn't have a hotter crowd, as we were saying before. I think the crowd had a lot of moments.
Oh, definitely.
They should have been a lot louder. Next week, certainly going to be interesting. And right now, the only thing that they're hyping for the show is that celebrity from Need for Speed. So I hope they got something better up their sleeve if they want to keep that crowd happy.
Well, like I said, my friend told me how, and he read this last night after the Elimination Chamber because he was in Iowa when he heard this earlier in the week. They said at first they weren't sure they're going to do the Chicago show because they're afraid to see what happens. Now, that leads me to wonder, will CM Punk show up in Chicago next Monday night? Will he disrupt the show and totally spin the show upside down? He could. He very well could. What do you guys think?
You think there'd be like some like NWO or DX type thing, like take over the truck and like cut the feed out and take over and things like that.
Yeah, cut pipe bombs all night. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I could see it happen.
Oh, I could dig something like that. Really harken back to like the night the Nexus attacked. You rarely get that feeling of like, holy crap, I can't believe I'm watching what's going on right now. Because even tonight, there was some cool things, but nothing like that.
Yeah, but I think they could do that next week. I mean, if they book it right, they could very well do it. But that leads me to wonder, if they do that, where do they put Punk on the card then? You know, where do they fit him in? That's a big question. I mean, he was at the UFC fight on Saturday, however, and he was waving to the camera. It looked like he was just telling the WWE to go F themselves, however, when he was smiling at him. He was smirking, if you will. But, yeah, what do you think he'll put him on the card if they decide to bring him back?
Maybe he doesn't need to be on the card. Maybe he could just find a way to still interfere in the main event and make an impact. Still be part of the show.
Yep.
Doesn't have to be in a match, you know. Maybe he legitimately is too beat up to be in the ring right now, and that's why he's gone. You know, still have a way to be involved and make big headlines and commit to the show, but not get yourself hurt. I think there's a lot of things you could do here.
Yeah.
JD, did you get the network today?
No, unfortunately, I didn't get it. I have a few friends who did, though, And one of them called me a little while ago. Howard told me earlier before Raw started tonight they were watching an old match, like you said, from WrestleMania 1, unfortunately. So, no, I didn't get the network.
That's awesome. Well, you get a free trial. I definitely recommend checking out to you and anyone else listening. It's worth it to at least get it for free. I mean, you can't argue with free. Lots of fun stuff to watch in there. It also is a little limited. I see a lot of people complaining. They could have more, like, classic stuff. And a lot of those original programs, like Legends House and things like that, are not up yet. They'll be coming in the future weeks. But right now, I'm digging it. There's lots of stuff on there to watch. I'm going to be busy the next few weeks watching, you know, old episodes of Raw and old pay-per-views. I'm going to be kept busy with that. I'm not complaining.
Yep,
so, JD, your high point, low point for tonight's Raw.
The low point, I definitely think the whole Santino-Emma thing, it just continues to be boring, and they hyped up, obviously, Real Divas coming back, or Total Divas coming back now with Summer Rae, which I think is a big mistake of putting her on. I think that's just absolutely a crock of shit. The high point for me, however, I would have to say the last segment, and maybe the Cesaro matchup with Big E. I mean, those two did pretty well tonight, but I would say the last little bit with Taker, Paulie, and Brock definitely just gave you chills, and it definitely feels now that WrestleMania has officially started.
Absolutely. It doesn't feel like we're waiting for a one stop anymore. It feels like we are definitely on that road. We're on the highway, in fact, on to WrestleMania. All right, JD, thanks for calling in. We got another call on the line. We want to get him on here. You have an awesome night, bro.
You too, guys. I'll see you next Monday.
All right, once again, reminding everyone, if you want to talk here on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show, dial in area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype by hitting the Skype icon. We got the chat room rolling heavy with Brian the Brain and iRadius and VXC Liberty Unlimited. Lots of people in there having a fun time. The heel turn, play nice. I don't think you've said anything in a while, but I just feel like saying it anyway. All right, we got another caller on the line. Let's bring on here from the 617 area code. Caller from 617, you're live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. Brian from New York. I'm the heel turn, and no, I will not play nice.
That's awkward.
You fucking told Peyton.
Awkward. What's shaking, Brian? How you doing?
Did we work this out beforehand? It seems contrived.
What?
Yeah, never mind. So,
how's it
going, guys?
Absolutely tremendous, man. We got differing opinions on this, but, you know, we're all happy to be here on the Raw Post Show. I think we're all excited for things to come as we're going into WrestleMania. What did you think about tonight's show, though?
Well, very glad that Hogan's hosting WrestleMania. I got to agree with Tony. It was you see that Hogan's really zoning out. He's phoning it in. Everyone's kind of excited that he's going to be hosting WrestleMania, but they don't realize that Hogan actually only gets to host half of WrestleMania, and Linda Hogan actually gets to host the other half, and she also gets a percentage of all future hosting duties in perpetuity.
Touche. I certainly hope not. That would mean we might have to see the kids as well. Ugh. Let's not have WrestleMania turns into Hogan Knows Best.
Brooke Hogan, Total Divas.
And Hogan just—it's hard to see him on the mic. He just comes out and he's shilling for the network, and it's not like he has good mic skills. I understand that if you watch and you judge based on the Hulkamania era promos, they were intense and they were good for the time. But now he's just reciting a script that some jack off backstage gave him, and he's not invested into it. And you can—you know—he used to feed off the Hulkamaniac energy. And now he's just trying to remember his lines and not explode in anger when he remembers that Linda's getting a huge chunk of what he's going to take home.
And it's also just a lot of brothers and jacks and a lot of the same language. I feel you. It's not the same excitement it was years ago. But at the same time, he also doesn't have the same testosterone flowing through him as he did those years ago either.
You just need Mean Gene to be there to help him with his promos. Then he's set. Bring back Gene.
Oh, that was the team. What about Brock and Undertaker, man? Has that got you excited after tonight?
I will also say that was kind of contrived. You saw it coming from a mile away, but then again, that's kind of what people want, and that's the one time that WWE will give the fans exactly what they want. And so it was a good piece of business. I would put it very highly on the show on entirety, and Heyman is always gold.
Well, what did you like at a tonight show? Is there anything that stuck out to you and got you excited?
The in-ring action was pretty good. Christian and Sheamus was a little lackluster. I'll be honest, I wasn't as invested as I could be. The previous night had me beat down just from realizing that Batista was actually going to headline WrestleMania. That's my main problem with everything that can't get me excited for WrestleMania the way I would hope to.
At this point, do you think that's still going to be the actual main event? I mean, with the potential of Triple H and Daniel Bryan on the horizon, Undertaker and Brock Lesnar now confirmed, do you think that there's any way that they're still going to put that match on last?
You know, here's what I know about the WWE and WrestleMania. This is their one chance during the year to create moments and these emotional memories for, like, not only the loyal fans, but also the people who might only watch that one event during the year. And I can't believe that they want the last moment of their 30th annual WrestleMania to be a deafening chorus of boos or a mild smattering of indifference. You know, WrestleMania is supposed to represent the absolute best and biggest matches that they can come up with. And I, again, just refuse to believe that they're comfortable with the last image of the night being fans disappointed and a bunch of empty seats because no one wants to sit through it.
I have to agree with you. I think if they had that match on at last, I agree, people are going to be leaving early and there's not going to be a positive reaction. This just reeks of Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, and they do not want to have another situation like that.
Absolutely. Not only that, but like, let's just say that, okay, Brock Lesnar and Undertaker gets on last, for example. That is tantamount to the WWE acknowledging that they have a shitty title match. I mean, it's not like, oh, okay, Shawn Michaels, possible retirement. We'll put that on last. This is just, you know, Undertaker coming out slower than ever, and they're just saying that no one cares about the main event, the title match, rather, as the main event. I'm really hoping that CM Punk is playing us all, because who are the fans going to cheer for?
Out of those guys, I don't know. You know, the only people the only guy that people want to cheer for right now is Daniel Bryan. That's who has to be there somehow.
That's why I'm still not sold on him versus Triple H. I mean, the one way to get the fans emotionally invested and have the best, most memorable storyline is to have Bryan go over and have absolutely everyone yesing their asses off. I don't see any other booking scenario that gets you there. And for the 30th WrestleMania, you should want that.
Brian, did you get the network today?
I did not. I enjoyed the pay-per-view last night, but again, with the booking, I'm still reserving to whether or not I want to actually invest any money in the company. I'm really becoming disinterested quickly with the booking.
That's fair, man. You're not the only one. A lot of people are following that. But I'll tell you what, man, free week to at least test it out, because even if you don't like things today, there's this plethora of stuff you could go to the past from the times you did enjoy. It's always there.
That's true. I think they call it YouTube.
Okay, you got me there. All right, Brian, one last thing we always like to ask people here. What was your high point from the show tonight and your low point from tonight's show?
All right, high point in the ring, of course, Brian and Kane was very good. The wrestling all around was fairly solid, but I thought that they had the best on the stick, as always, Heyman. Got to give it to him. And the low point, Batista. He just, God, I feel like I should be paying him money for using him as a punching bag all the time, but he just got so flustered and emotional that no one would cheer for him. And for him to try to pull the old John Cena of, oh, these people can cheer for whoever they want, and, oh, I'm behind you, I agree, you go ahead and voice your opinion. It's totally bullshit, and I almost sympathize with Batista. I mean, he comes back, and he is assured that he'd get a nice top spot, and he thinks that people are going to just cheer for him, and it's this giant, deafening chorus of boos, or, again, indifference, which is even worse.
Yeah, when it's absolutely deadpan quiet, for a guy that's coming out there trying to show such intensity, it just does not match at all. They really just either need to turn the guy heel or just get him out of there. One of those two, because this is not looking good for business.
What's Orton going to do?
Well, then you put someone else in the match to take the babyface spot. Once again, Daniel Bryan. This all could be resolved with Daniel Bryan. All right, bro, we got someone else in the line we're going to bring on here. We appreciate you calling in, bro. You have a good night.
Have a good night, fellas.
All right. Once again, folks, this is the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. You can join the conversation anytime. Dial in area code 760-512-7247. We also got the chat room running with lots of cool people. Specifically, I want to give a shout out to iRadius here with a comment. I will not get the network until CM Punk returns. showing his solidarity, demanding the return of Punk.
So he's getting the network next week.
Absolutely. We also got Brian the Brain and VXE, both saying that they got the network and they are enjoying it. So we're seeing a little bit of both sides with this.
Well, just to let everyone know, I got it too, and I definitely recommend it.
And I as well. I've enjoyed what I've gotten to see of it so far. I haven't really gotten to dig into it as deep as I like. Like I said, I stayed up all night. I was up for the start of it at 9 a.m. and then I slept, so I didn't get to spend the whole day looking at it as I would like. But I'll get to it. We're going to bring in another caller in here. I am also receiving a text. I just got an alert from the agent that our guest that is appearing later on has left the hotel. They are on their way here in their limo, moving along, and they will be here. So yes, people, they will be here very soon. And just the time, we have Mr. Brian the Brain on the line, calling in via the Skype line on Mega Powers Radio. Brian the Brain, what's shaking, dude?
Actually, the Brain is not here today. It's still at Watch the Network. It's been one of those crazy days where take you 4 hours to finally get an account, and boy, Hardy, I've been watching ever since.
You still haven't put your pants on yet, have you?
Yeah, no, I've been. watching Network and Raw, and I've watched WrestleMania 1, 2, and 3, and the first Starrcade of WCW.
Holy crap, you've been busy.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was the first thing you watched? Did you watch the live feed, or what'd you get into?
WrestleMania 1.
You actually just went right to WrestleMania 1.
Yeah.
To say that the quality of watching some of this older stuff, it's absolutely amazing. I don't think I've ever watched some of that classic early WrestleMania stuff as crisp as I have now, because when I watched it when I was younger, it was on the VHSs. It looked like crap. So for now to have them, the fully digitized stuff streaming cleanly over an internet feed, that all looks absolutely fantastic. I mean, I'm watching this stuff from 1985, and it looks like it was maybe from like 1993. It looks great.
Yeah. Awesome HD. It's like, wow. I was like, it wasn't even this good when it was on originally. And
oh, no. Even when they were watching on a closed circuit, it probably looked like crap.
Yeah. Oh, it was horrible. Horrible. There would be 1,000 people around a little tiny screen at a closed circuit event trying to watch WrestleMania, you know, back in the day before there was pay-per-view. And it's like, thank you. Thank you, Network. Thank you, WWE.
Let's not try to relive those glory days. Brian, what did you think about Raw tonight, though? What stuck out from your mind from tonight's show?
It was a good show. I'm kind of sad that Sheamus and Christian wasn't a little bit better, but I think they're going to keep on their feud till WrestleMania. But it was a boring match. I actually fell asleep during Christian and Sheamus, and I like Sheamus, but that was horrible.
I think both guys were feeling the effects from last night's match, specifically Christian. I noticed he had a really, really bad limp as he was coming out to the ring initially. He could have just been trying to sell it, but I don't know. After taking that huge leap off the top of the pod inside that Elimination Chamber match last night, I can imagine he's not feeling very good.
Yeah, everybody from last night looked like they had some wear and tear on them, but after every Elimination Chamber, if you ever remember back going in the next Raw, or they would always be so bruised up from that cage and the bottom floor. It's like, you'd be surprised if half of them could walk for a few hours after the match.
So Brian, you're a historian and you were watching WrestleMania 1. Were you excited for the return of Hulkamania tonight?
Yeah, I was excited until they cut away when he was posing to Cole and them doing the Network stuff. I would rather watch him pose down. I mean, that's what Hulk Hogan does. You got him there. Use him for that stuff. Use him for the pose down. The brothers, the oh yes, all that stuff that is Hulkamania. You cut away during the best part of Hulk Hogan. I just don't understand sometimes what they're doing, what their mindset is. It's like,
well, Hulk Hogan doesn't pose for free, brother. You got to pay for that.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't. He can't afford to in these. With that divorce to Linda, I'm pretty sure.
Well, aside from Hulk Hogan being the official host of WrestleMania, we also had a few things announced with Brock Lesnar versus Taker. It also looks like John Cena versus the Wyatts is taking shape. What are you looking forward to out of that?
I'm looking forward to Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. I'm not a Brock Lesnar fan, but I sure am an Undertaker fan. I've been watching Mark wrestle since he was in WCCW days. I mean, so I've always been kind of a fan of his, and it's like to see him walk out in that awesome garb and hearing the dogs, and it was a mark out moment for sure for me. I mean, he's just been one of those wrestlers that, yes, I know everybody complains he's coming back once a year again, but he's also what, 50 something years old. So it's surprising he can even wrestle at this point.
All right, Brian, your high point and your low point for tonight's Raw, bro.
High point, I would say definitely Undertaker, Brock Lesnar stuff was good. Low point was Sheamus and Christian.
Well, that's totally fair, dude. All right, Brian, great call tonight as always, dude. We'll talk to y'all next week. Have a good night, dude.
All right, you too.
All right, keeping things rolling along here. We got another call on the line, but once again, reminding y'all, if you want to get in line to talk here on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show, area code 760-512-7247 is the number to dial in via your cell phone or your landline or Telegram, whatever you like to use. We also got the Skype lines open, so if you have Skype on your computer or phone, you can do that by hitting the icon on the broadcast page. And of course, the chat room is always running wild with lots of cool people in there. Heel Turn, VXC, Liberty Unlimited, iRadius, Brian the Brain, and a bunch of guests. Keep things popping, yo. All right, we're gonna be bringing on the next caller, Joey Hurt. Joey, you there, dude? Joey?
Yes, good night, gentlemen.
Hey, Joey, thanks for calling in again, bro. How you doing tonight?
Very well. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, fantastic, dude. Also, I saw you called into our sports show we had this weekend. You're crossing over into the other things. That's fantastic, dude. We thank you for the support here at the station.
Oh, no problem. Your show is very enjoyable, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of it.
Oh, such a polite young man. Thank you, Joey. So, Joey, what did you think about tonight's show?
I think it was very good. How do I say? Well, first of all, the Hulkamania, that's probably the first big star I've seen as a youth, so I was glad to see that. That was for nostalgia purpose. And overall, the show was very good, a way to kick off this WrestleMania fever.
Absolutely. Did you get the network today?
I didn't. I'm waiting to hear other people's responses before I do so. And after listening to this show, it seems like it's starting to become even on both sides for good and bad.
It all depends on what you're expecting out of it. I don't blame people for waiting. I would say if at least for the pay-per-views, it's worth it when you're only paying $9.99 a month for each pay-per-view and you know you're going to get a quality stream that's going to be reliable. I think that's what it's going to be worth it for. At this point, they have a cool library of old stuff that's on there. If you want to find it in other places, you can. But once again, this is easy to browse. You know it's going to be there. You don't have to worry about finding something that's going to be in HD. So I think it's worth it. It's totally been worth it, absolutely. Joey, we got a couple other big things happening that's showing things shaping up for WrestleMania. Most importantly, of course, Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker closed the show. What'd you think about that?
Very good. That was a unique twist with the pin stabbing thing. I haven't seen that before with The Undertaker. And so that was a nice touch. It wasn't simply a stare down after they both signed contracts. That was very good creative.
It was one of the first times I felt like Undertaker was from Texas. Because I don't feel like you get to see that a lot with the current Undertaker character. He was a badass, old-school Western character who just pulled this completely rough-and-tugged type of style to take out Brock Lesnar, who in otherwise, you know, he looks at a guy like that. Yeah, Undertaker's a little bit taller, but Brock Lesnar's younger, and he just looks so much more brolic that he could easily take out this frail old man. Undertaker had to show that he's got the bones to do it.
All right. And so I'm curious to see on the road to WrestleMania how many more appearances we will be treated to from The Undertaker. And if indeed he does show up once more or even further, will Brock Lesnar have his advantage on one of these Raw shows? Like, will he perhaps put The Undertaker through some obstacle?
That's a very good point. I imagine both of them are on limited dates. If I recall correctly, the last image we saw in the final Raw before WrestleMania actually didn't involve John Cena or The Rock. It was CM Punk standing over The Undertaker holding the urn of Paul Bearer. So who knows if The Undertaker will get that type of priority again, where the final image of the Raw before WrestleMania is him being taken down by Brock Lesnar. I could see them doing something like that again. She's got to do something to make the Undertaker seem vulnerable, especially after this year, because Brock Lesnar kind of looks like a goof.
Okay. Perhaps a F5 through the Spanish announce table can get us prepared 6 days later for WrestleMania.
Oh, my God. Well, hopefully the Undertaker can handle that. What do you hope to see out of this matchup there? I mean, the Undertaker is no spring chicken anymore. He can't take the rough and tumble style that Brock Lesnar would normally dish out. Or do you think he can? What are you hoping to see with this?
Well, I noticed the... I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Well, I was just going to say, do you think that the streak is going to be safe, or do you think this is the biggest threat to it yet?
Oh, no. The streak will be intact. This is simply... They always tease that, they give you this cliffhanger, but I think they would be nuts to ever end that streak. That is something that deserves a Hall of Fame ring itself, the streak. And so I don't see it ending. But you made a good point with the Undertaker, age catching up with him. So I notice each year his move that JR calls Air Taker, the flight is becoming less and less as the years go on. Like when he first performed that maneuver in 97, from what I saw, it was amazing. His hang time and both the height and the impact of it, I guess the elliptical of it. But now it seems to be falling short of his opponent every year as we go on.
Are you talking about when he leaps outside the ring, the plancha? Are you talking about when he does like that forward flip into the clothesline thing?
The one where he leaps outside onto the opponent on the outside?
Mm-hmm. I don't even think he's done that the last couple of years.
Shit, I wouldn't do it after I landed on my fucking head that one year.
Oh, against Shawn Michaels, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. That was unfortunate. I think the cameraman had something to do with that one.
And the cameraman got released.
Yeah, he did. He actually did do it the following year after that, but I think after that is when he hasn't done it since. So luckily that's not something he's doing anymore. Yo, who did do a move similar to that, though? We saw Luke Harper pull off a similar move like that in his match at the Wilds versus the Shield at Elimination Chamber last night, which absolutely stunned me. So Luke Harper might be taking over as the next flying big man. Eat that, Steven.
You know, I can see that. For him to be big, he does have the mobility and agility of a young Mr. Mark Callis or Undertaker.
Absolutely. So at this point, Joey, what are you thinking about WrestleMania? Are you positive on it, or are you hoping for something more?
You know, I think right now I'm okay. I'm satisfied because even if the card can't match some of the better WrestleManias in the past, which I put 17 as the best ever, but the fact that WrestleMania made it this far, this the 30th year, and people, some of the territories in the 80s didn't think that it would see another year after the first one. You know, the Minnesota territory in Texas, you had the Atlantic region. I think people were quite upset with McMahon because they thought he was destroying the integrity of the wrestling business with this circus here, as they probably called it, merging pop culture with this wrestling. And so as a tribute to that, the fact it made it 30 years, or this will be the 30th, I think that alone deserves accolades. So I'm very excited for this show, and congratulations to the McMahon family for having this longevity. And also thank you to them for providing this entertainment for us to enjoy and talk about on this night.
Joey, it is so nice to hear people have that type of outlook on this, because so many people get so caught up in, oh, why isn't Daniel Bryan or CM Punk getting this job? Why isn't Antonio Cesaro being pushed? Oh, this was so dumb. This isn't being done the way I want it. You rarely hear people just actually appreciate what gets done anymore. The spectacle of how awesome these shows you get to go with the loud noises and the explosions and the circus type feel, the people coming out that looks like freaks and doing these feats of strength and agility and all that you can't see anywhere else. And that's why we're all fans of this. And I think people sometimes need to take a step back and remember that. So it's really refreshing to hear you call it and say things like that. So Joey, let's conclude this with how we always conclude it with our callers. For tonight's Monday Night Raw, what was your high point and your low point?
Okay, the high point was the Big E and the Cesaro match.
Hmm.
Very, very good. I was very impressed with the match. The strength of Cesaro to catch him in midair and perform the Tilt-A-Whirl backbreaker and other feats And he continues to wow me with the forearm uppercut performs and the variations of it. And also on Big E's part, his agility to be so big is amazing. I'm starting to see more of that. His it was one move, I forget where. Pardon me, I don't want to destroy the continuity of your show, but it is a move I forgot, and I'm not going to try to recall it, because I'll be here with all night. So,
I absolutely, Big E, not only is he strong, he's also very powerful and very fast. He'll surprise you with how much explosiveness he can show with himself.
Oh, some beautiful German suplexes he delivered also.
What was your low point?
Oh, yeah, a low point. You know what? I think they disrespected Randy Orton. I mean, This man came out of the chamber match where the odds were against him. He had 20% chance, I believe, to come out. And prior to that, he had a losing streak where he was facing these individuals in the chamber one-on-one. And I think he only won two out of the five matches. And so everyone... You know, they hyped it up to where Orton will not make it out this chamber. And here he did. He made it. And he didn't get enough airtime on Raw. He didn't get to come out and say, oh, I told you so. Look, I'm still here. You know, they didn't give him enough respect that he made it out of that.
Absolutely. All right, Joey, we're going to let this go on here. We got some other callers I might want to get on here a little bit. But, Joey, thank you for calling in. Good call as always. We'll talk to you again soon, bro.
Okay, thank you for having me. And, gentlemen, have a good night.
You too, Joey. Have an awesome night. We'll talk to you again soon. Everyone else listening, phone lines are open. Area code 760-512-7247. Chat room's open. People going crazy in there. In fact, I got one I want to pull out here from VXCZZ. I'm just going to start calling you Dane because that's your real name. I'm sorry. I can't pronounce whatever your username is here. He says, how nervous is Eric Rowan? His job is on the line with Cena possibly hurt. And he's, of course, referencing a new story that's breaking out on all the dirt sheets right now. John Cena comes out earlier this evening on Raw, calls out the Wyatt family for interfering in his Elimination Chamber match and causing him to lose. Wyatt family attacks him, and in the end, John Cena is stretchered out of the building into an ambulance. A lot of people are starting to believe this may be legit. John Cena may have actually been hurt. I can't say exactly when it was. I guess there was a point where Eric Rowan did like a splash onto John Cena, and it may have actually tweaked John Cena's knee. And I remember when they were stretching him out, it did not look good. Something looked kind of funky about his knee. Horrible timing going into WrestleMania, especially with a big star like John Cena. Not someone you want to have on the sidelines, especially when you're already not getting a positive response for your main event with Batista and Randy Orton. Guys, let's talk about this here. I mean, first off, it seems like they're really trying to push Bray Wyatt versus John Cena as a WrestleMania match. This could cause that to be derailed. In my personal opinion, I hope this means we can get a continuation of the Shield Wyatt feud, but I guess that's being kind of selfish about it. Not that I want to wish John Cena to be hurt, but Tony, how about you, man? What's your opinions on this?
Well, I would say that it's a horrible time for John Cena to get taken out, but at the same time, if you want to try to look on the positive side of things, if he does end up not being a part of WrestleMania, now was the time for it to happen because they have a couple more weeks where they can build to something else. Imagine how much worse this would have been if it would have been like the week before WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
And for Rowan's job, I don't think that it's in jeopardy. I mean, shit happens every once in a while. If anything is going to be talked about later on tonight of not holding your end of the bargain of protecting the other person, I mean, we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but it's going to be in that Big E match. And, Cesaro would be in the one that was in trouble for that. But I hope that this doesn't mean that Cena is out. Because if WrestleMania 30 doesn't have CM Punk and it doesn't have Cena and our big, we've built up to this by unifying the titles kind of a match is Batista and Randy Orton, what a terrible WrestleMania we're going to be in for.
You're not kidding, dude. Wago, what about you, man?
Cena not being at Mania, I'm all for that, man. It sucks whenever someone gets injured. I don't wish it on anyone. But John Cena versus Bray Wyatt, I don't see an argument where that could have been a good match or an enjoyable match. And the fact is, Cena would have gone over. They wouldn't have put Bray over. So I didn't care about it. And I'd love to see the Wyatt family versus the Shield continue. And I guess that just opens up another spot for when CM Punk returns.
This all could have been avoided if they just did John Cena versus Undertaker. John Cena could have been the one to get chokeslammed through the table tonight, and it all would have been fine. Probably wouldn't have gotten hurt through that. Maybe he would have. I don't know.
Then he would have had a hand injury when he was a stab at the pen.
Oh.
Would have had a swollen thumb.
Oh.
And he wouldn't be able to do the little taunt that he normally does.
But legit, last night, we're not going to do our review of Elimination Chamber now. Stay tuned Friday's Smack Talk on SmackDownMoment.com for that. However, what I do just want to say is that Shield versus Wyatt match was fucking amazing. Early contender for match of the year easily, and I would love to see these guys continue this feud. I mean, if they still follow through with this this Shield breakup and split these guys at Mania and we never see Shield and Wyatt again, that is a big mistake.
One more thing, you know how we have this debate who's better, Eric Rowan or Luke Harper?
Uh-huh.
If Eric Rowan's got rid of John Cena, he's automatically better than Luke Harper.
Oh yeah, well, Luke Harper is gonna take out Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, shit. If you take that Alberto Del Rio, then he definitely is better. Fuck. Yep.
Can somebody take out Sheamus, too, while we're at it?
Sheamus got back. Give Sheamus a chance.
Oh, that doesn't factor in.
Well, it's a shame this can't be bigger news. I guess we have to follow this story as it develops, see if John Cena is legitimately hurt, how long he's going to be out for. But as has been said here, Cena versus Wyatt really did not have any marquee value to me. I think it's a poor use of both characters going into what's supposed to be the biggest WrestleMania of all time. So hopefully, at the least, this causes them to steer things into a different direction for both characters, and we could see something else happen with that. Let's run down some of the other things we had happen tonight. We had Batista and Alberto Del Rio have a rematch from their match from last night. However, this time, Randy Orton decides to interfere, coming out with a microphone. Alberto Del Rio gets the quick roll-up pin, so now Del Rio has a victory over Batista. And Batista has suffered his first loss since returning. Orton calls out Batista for the fans not liking him. Batista says he loves the fans when they like him, but he'll boo them back when they boo him. And he also said at some point, "I love this business," which got no reaction whatsoever.
It got a boo.
I'm not saying it did not get the... Usually when someone like John Cena says that, it's like, "Yeah, woo, you love this business."
This business. Woo to this business.
Not for Batista,
business.
But I think this is the best thing that's ever happened to Alberto Del Rio. I mean, he actually got a mostly positive reaction last night at Elimination Chamber, and tonight people even got a little bit behind him.
Now it just leaves me scratching my head even more why he was jumping out to Sin Cara 3 times in a row.
Right?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
And that's not like Sin Cara is anywhere now.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to jump out to Sin Cara, then get in a feud with Batista, and I'm meant to look like a legitimate threat.
I really think the only reason they did that is to stick it in the craw of the Mystico guy.
Yeah, maybe.
So like, hey, look, we still got Sin Cara. Haha.
Wait a minute. So you don't think it's building up to Sin Cara taking the title from Randy Orton and then having Sin Cara versus Batista at WrestleMania?
No, it's going to be Sin Cara versus CM Punk.
And it's going to be a mask versus put a mask on match. First ever. Batista loses. He has to put a mask on. That's a terrible idea. I don't know where I'm going with that.
TNA's going to rip it off.
The reverse mask match.
We joke now. It's going to happen at the next pay-per-view.
Oh, goodness. We had a match between Antonio Cesaro and Big E. Still want to say Langston, but I'm cutting myself off there. Cesaro does manage to get the big swing in this match, as everyone hoped he would. Looked excellent with Big E's tiny arms sticking out as he's swinging around. We don't actually get to see the conclusion of this match, however. Jack Swagger runs in and gets a disqualification when he puts the Patriot Lock on Big E, causing further dissension among the real Americans. Seems like every good tag team is no longer going to be around. Tony, I mean, what do you think about that?
This is another thing that kind of bothered me about tonight. We had two different matches that ended with the same exact outcome, where somebody's tag team partner that they're teasing some kind of dissension between interrupts and causes a disqualification. They really couldn't have thought of something different for at least one of them. And I can't imagine really Cesaro and Swagger going into WrestleMania having a singles match together. I mean, maybe if more people get injured or leave, like CM Punk and John Cena, we're going to have to, but... Cesaro versus Swagger is not going to be a WrestleMania match, I don't think. And if they're not going to build up to that now, why start teasing it right now? It's going to get lost in the shuffle. Just the same as nobody's really going to be paying that much attention to Alexander Rusev until after WrestleMania, or nothing's going to happen with Santino Marella until after WrestleMania. Like, there's all this stuff that they're just kind of building up for nothing, and I don't know where they're going to go with it, but at least Cesaro looked cool, and Big E, he looked good, but he's been looking a little bad too. I mean, I don't know. It's an odd situation.
He's going to look real bad when he's paralyzed.
Neutralized?
Drew, can you let Wago let know it's his turn to speak?
I don't know, Wago. You need to wait your turn, sir, because it's Drew Crew's turn.
Go ahead, Drew.
Thank you. You know, I actually liked the match for what it was. I didn't know that it was for the championship till like it was over. So that surprised me. But I thought it was a good match, you know. And the thing is, going forward, is what are they going to do with the Real Americans and every other tag team? Because tag teams don't mean anything to the WWE anymore, which is upsetting. But, you know, it is what it is, I suppose. You know, good match. Yeah.
This just happens every year. We get this tease thinking that they're going to regenerate the tag team division, and then all the good ones split. Every time.
Yeah. Well, except the good news is the Rhodes Brothers haven't officially...
Yeah, so much for that. That was supposed to be a WrestleMania match that never happened.
They were a highlight of tonight's show, weren't they?
The guy that was in the second row that was dressed like Goldust was.
Oh, I saw that. I thought that was Goldust
first. Wago, what did you think about the split up, or the potential split up we're seeing with Cesaro and Swagger that started with the match with him and Big E?
I'm okay with it as long as one of them gets the IC belt before the split, and that's the match for Mania. Shit, the title might be vacated after tonight, though. I want to know the status of Big E. That was a nasty bump he took.
I was so scared when he came down like that.
It was like the... Because I just saw the Roderick Strong AJ Styles botched bump off the Styles Clash, and it was like that all over again.
Now, what even happened? I'm guessing Big E is just so greasy that his shoulders slipped from Antonio Cesaro's legs.
I have no idea. I mean, he dropped forwards like he normally does. I don't know if he didn't pick him up high enough, or... I mean, it falls on Cesaro. There's not much that Big E could have done besides hang there, so... I don't like that move anyway. I think it looks shit.
It looks terrible.
No one does. No one likes the move.
So I say just use the fucking uppercut anyway. It's sweet.
Yeah, you got the uppercut as your finisher. You can make the big swing your setup move, so you don't need the uppercut as your setup.
Yeah, you have a big swing, have him stand up stumbling, launch him into the air, and uppercut the fucker.
God, just imagine that as his finisher, swinging, then the uppercut in midair. That'd be fucking fantastic.
Throwing Big Show up in the air and giving him an uppercut.
Well, you know what I've also been noticing with Big E's matches? It seems like someone always gets busted up nowadays. Like last
Yeah, this
night,
is calmer. He finally gets fucking hit back.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. Reigns, I believe, got busted up from Big E. Who did he face last night? Oh, yeah. But Swagger, I guess, got busted up a bit. You know, I don't know why. I like the man, but damn, I don't know if it's just his fault for just being reckless, because it doesn't seem like he's...
He's very stiff. I can tell. He's very stiff.
I don't know. Yeah, but it doesn't seem like he's, like, a bad worker, though. Stiffy
Langston. That's what we call him.
Stiffy Langston. Now. Come on.
Okay, we had a matchup between Christian and Sheamus, which everyone just seems to be shitting over. It was long. It went like two segments, and it was not bad, but it wasn't particularly good. Anybody have anything they want to add about that one?
Just two segments?
I think it was two segments, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. The one thing I want to mention is that JBL was making fun of Christian's tanning, just calling him green at one point.
No, he was like, I don't even know what color that is. It's like a red or a yellow or a green. It's some weird foreign Canadian color.
Christian is carrot.
Christian is the carrot. That's exactly what he is. I think Sheamus won this match. Nobody cared. We go backstage where they're showing the Authority entering from their limousine. Daniel Bryan chases in from out of screen and starts challenging Triple H to a match at WrestleMania. Stephanie tells him to calm down. You will have a match tonight to take out your frustrations. And that match would be next. It would be Daniel Bryan versus his former tag team partner from Team Hell No, Kane, now known as Corporate Kane, coming out in his wife beater t-shirt. Daniel Bryan gives him the running knee for the victory, once again grabs the microphone and leads the crowd in a yes chant as he challenges Triple H once again for WrestleMania. So we haven't gotten an answer on that. However, it looks like this is the road that they want to go down Tony, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H.
that'll get the fans interested.
Yeah. Shit, that'll stop them complaining at Mania.
They'll be like, Daniel Bryan's not enough in this card yet. Called it. They had to do it, and they have to do it in the main event. There's no other choice. They can't do anything else. If they do anything else, then they're screwed. So that should be the best match of the night, and it should go on last. It should blow everything else out of the water. I'm excited for it. It's a shame that they didn't just have the foresight to know that it wasn't going to go over well with Batista and that they could have booked him in the title match, because it would have been really nice for the Unified Heavyweight Championship to go as the final match on the card for WrestleMania 30. But then again, look at how many times that's happened in the past. You know, it's not really that much of a surprise. But one thing that I will give them extra credit for in this was they didn't have to, but they could have ignored the idea of the whole A-plus, B-plus player thing that they've used to touch upon. And they threw that out there again tonight. And I always like when they do that, whether it's CM Punk mentioning that Orton had taken him out before when he was the champion originally, when they started picking up their feud again, or, you know, if Shawn Michaels brings up his back injury with The Undertaker, like any of those kind of references to old things that we're kind of supposed to forget about. I like that. So that was a nice way of bringing a little bit of steam back into this.
Heck, you're barely supposed to remember that Kane and Daniel Bryan were a tag team. That was just a year ago.
And if you remember by any chance that Kane was a dentist, then holy shit, you lose Kane.
Well, we're going to have to do this show later then.
Wait, is Kane our guest or is it the dentist?
Drew, what did you think about this?
I was actually, the only thing I really wanted to mention was, have they mentioned that they were a tag team at all during this whole thing?
I think they said it in passing.
Okay, then... besides that, I don't really know. I just hope this isn't the Mania match that Daniel Bryan has, because if this is what it is, then you know.
No, that's done. He got the clean pinfall victory tonight. That's done.
I don't know. They do have a tendency to have Mania matches before Mania. I mean, it won't be the first time they've done something this stupid. I'm just messing. Hopefully they end up having the Triple H Bryan match, which is the right way to go at this point. And, you know, hopefully we don't have Triple H ego with like he did with CM Punk. And hopefully if they do fight, Daniel Bryan actually comes out on top this time.
Wago?
I like the idea of Daniel Bryan versus Triple H at Mania. I still think that CM Punk is going to come out into Daniel Bryan's music and wrestle the match. But I just did not enjoy the Kane versus Daniel Bryan match tonight. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I felt it was really boring, and I'm so glad it's not going to be at the Mania match.
Oh, this is okay.
Yeah. And by the way, Michael Cole, we get it. Kane's in the corporation. Stop saying fucking corporate Kane.
I like it when he says corporate Kane.
But he is corporate Kane. It's not just like that Kane is in the corporation. He's a completely different person now. He's in the suit. He comes out wrestling in the wife beater.
But he's still Kane.
He still has that one thing in his eye though that changes the color.
Just call him Kane. I fucking hate this corporate Kane shit. Just call him Kane. It's like when they had the new Nexus and the Nexus was gone
was fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's like the new Nexus. They've been to team forever now.
Or it had to be Team Hell No and Team Rhodes Scholars.
Yeah, WWE is stupid shit. Like
nobody actually said team before that. It was so dumb.
I think he needs a surname, Kane, now that he's in the suit. Like, you can't refer to him as Mr. Kane.
He could be Kane. Yeah, Reginald Kane.
He needs to be, like, Kane, I don't know. Kane Esquire. Like Cornelius or something, like, really, really nerdy.
Give him the Langston name.
Kane Langston.
Oh, goodness.
He just steals the Antonio, too. He's Antonio Kane Langston.
Yeah, he enters the arena. He enters the arena like, "Hey, Antonio, yank him."
And he comes out in a Sin Cara mask.
That's only because he lost the match, though.
Oh, everyone, this is the NPR Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Just reminding you once again, if you want to join the conversation, dial in with your phone, area code 760-512-7247. We also have the chat room running like crazy as usual. Lots of ways to get involved here. Twitter, hashtag Raw Post Show. Matter of fact, I haven't been checking that. I am terrible with Twitter, folks. I apologize. Let me pull it up right now. And we also have our special guest still due in tonight. Make sure you stay tuned. I know the utter anticipation must absolutely be killing y'all, but we promise you this is going to be a big guest, big night here on Mega Powers Radio, just as it's a big night in wrestling history. So I make sure we match it here on the Raw Post Show. Oh, unfortunately, this next thing we're going to be talking about is not too exciting. We had our Divas segment of the night. It was Summer Rae, the dance partner of Fandango, going against the new NXT Diva, Emma. Emma actually getting to show her whole entrance tonight. She got her theme music. She got to do her dance. There were bubbles. Santino came out with her. She did that little skin the cat type thing where she kind of like messes up while she's doing it. Crowd didn't seem to care that much at first, but by the end of the match, she wins with the Emma lock, and they actually were showing the camera on people of other people doing the Emma dance.
Plants.
What's the name of it?
Plants. I don't know. I think it's called the Emolution, for all I know. But, yeah, I don't know. Tony?
okay. One good thing about this, though, Summer Rae, man, she looked smoking hot tonight, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
And Emma, pass.
Okay.
That's all you can really say.
Yeah, it's fucking, this mattress. I'm not into the Emma thing. I don't know about you guys, but it's just so lackluster, and it seems so forced. I don't know how it got over in NXT, and I don't think it's going to get over.
You don't know about us? I think we just pretty much are all in agreement that this is terrible.
What, the Emma dance?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking awful.
No, I that song, too.
No, I want to say song, as soon as I looked up the name for it, and short-term memory describes it perfectly, and I think what describes him as character is just dumb.
The theme song's really like the audio equivalent of the dance, though. I'll give them credit with that. It's that dumb.
You know what? At least they didn't fucking use a theme as bad as that old WWE Network theme.
This is true. You know what? Raw Post Show does seem to be used by WWE, and there's like 100 people tweeting with the hashtag Raw Post Show, and I don't think that they're talking to us, unfortunately.
Oh, they're talking to us. Come on, don't worry.
Hey, yeah, be optimistic. You never know.
Lesnar and Heyman deny interview on hashtag Raw Post Show. Flair and Booker next week on the Raw hashtag Raw Post Show. I don't think that's going to be happening here. We have a big guest, but it's not Ric Flair or Booker T.
This is just pre-recorded, you know. They'll be on eventually. Don't worry. Calm down.
We have Stevie Wright instead.
Oh, goodness gracious. We had a tag team match tonight between the New Age Outlaws and the Usos. It was very short, though. The bell rings. The Road Dogg grabs a microphone and demands that the New Age Outlaws get to do their opening shtick. The Usos exit the ring for a moment. Just as Road Dogg is finishing up his whole spiel, he turns around and is greeted by a super kick. I couldn't tell you by which Uso, but the Usos follow up with an entire attack and get the quick pinfall over the New Age Outlaws for an embarrassing victory, certainly putting them back in the title hunt against the New Age Outlaws. Tony, what do you think about this match?
Another underwhelming kind of thing. These two teams could have a really good match together, and they relegated this to the quick squash thing, which was a shame, because we had those other matches that went on forever, and I would have had, you know, taken time away from the other ones and given it to these guys instead. So that's a shame. There were rumors, of course, and, you know, dirt sheet stuff you always have to take with a grain of salt, that we were going to have some kind of a title change tonight. And a lot of people were speculating that was going to go to the tag team titles. I originally thought it was going to be the United States title, but we didn't see any of that tonight. And when this match came on, the first thing I thought of was, wait, did I miss that they said that this was going to be for the title? And as soon as that happened, the squash was like, oh, that couldn't be. That would be terrible if they did that. So. I mean, as long as these two teams can have some kind of a match at WrestleMania and the Usos can come out on top and other tag teams can be involved because we need to get more people onto this card, I'll be okay with it in the grand scheme of things. But this just, it didn't work for me tonight at all.
Drew, what about you, man?
I
I understood the concept of it, but gosh, I am not a fan of the New Age Outlaws anymore. From right now, like, I cannot, I don't think they need to be back. I don't think they should be the tag team champions at all at this point. You know, some old timers can come back, you know, and show up the younger talent. You know, Goldust has done it. I mean, Undertaker is still around kicking it. But, you know, I don't think that the New Age Outlaws should be back in the WWE. They're just completely out of shape. I just do not like them right now. I don't think that I just think that one of them is going to get hurt eventually. And just like I think how everyone is going to get hurt.
Billy Gunn's on the Drew crew.
Well, Billy Gunn needs to step up his game a bit, or he might be leaving the Drew crew. Cause I don't know. He lost tonight. It's probably from old age. Cause you know, if they were younger, they would.
And you're losers tonight via old age.
Well, listen, if they were younger, they would have saw the attack coming from a mile away. He would have been able to kick out of that roll up at the end. Come on, I think everyone knows it's because of age nowadays.
And your winners via being younger.
Wago, you're our biggest fan here, probably, of the New Age Outlaws.
Hell yeah, I am, and I'm not a fan of the Drew crew at all anymore. Fuck that. Fuck him.
Never were a fan. Shut up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I love the New Age Outlaws, man, and I thought this was very well done. I don't think you need to give away the match for Mania. I know these guys have gone backwards and forwards a few times now, but you don't want to overdo it too much. So let Usos get the quick win. You've built some tension, a bit of story that you can work towards now, and have a kick-ass match at Mania. So I'm hoping it isn't put as a pre-show, and I hope they get given a good 15 minutes to go at Mania.
So we got an announcement that we will be having the Raw guest host returning next week, and it's going to be fucking some guy. I don't know his name. He's
some guy? Aaron fucking Paul. Jesse Pinkman, bitch.
He's going to be in the new Need for Speed movie. That's all I know.
That means something to me.
Yeah.
He's a star from Breaking Bad, and he's awesome.
I'm actually looking forward to that somewhat. No, he's going to come out as CM Punk. I think everyone knows that's what's happening.
You know he's not going to talk at all about Breaking Bad, though.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He's going to have a drag race with Del Rio's car. They're both going to see who can run Santa over the most amount of times.
Oh, and speaking of guests, I'm just receiving word that a limousine has pulled up outside Mega Powers Radio Studios. Our guest should be here any minute, folks, so please stay tuned. They will be here.
Wait, he gets a limo?
He gets a limo. It's a big deal. Like I said, man, I had to pull a lot of favors for this. I had to make sure there was a limo. I had to make sure there was a bowl full of only red M&Ms, not to mention another bowl of straw. That didn't make any sense to me. But I don't know. Really weird guy, but I'm glad we're going to be having him here on the show.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah, if you work hard, maybe someday you'll get a limo with only red M&Ms and straw.
Can I have blue?
Well, you got to get there first. No. Find out. So we got one last thing to talk about, which on paper has to be one of the most exciting matches I think they could have made. Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt. When they first said that this match was happening, I didn't think this was actually going to happen. I figured there'd be some type of fight apart at the beginning, someone interfering. But no, we actually got a decent, like, let's say 5 to 7 minute long matchup between these two, getting a little bit of taste of what they're capable of. Unfortunately, the first part of it was not very good. It's very slow, a lot of headlocks and things of that nature. However, eventually they started picking up the pace, and just as you were starting to get excited, the lights went out and the other Wyatt family members appeared. However, they were not able to get the jump because Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose surprised them by being ready. Seth Rollins flew over the top rope onto the outside of the ring onto the other Wyatt family members. Absolutely blew me away. Probably the coolest thing I've ever seen Seth Rollins do. So major kudos to him. Yeah, I said it. Major kudos to Seth Rollins. However, this match ends when Dean Ambrose jumps into the ring and gets Roman Reigns disqualified, and didn't really seem to care, though. They chased the Wyatts out, the Shield music played at the end, and I guess maybe we are going to continue seeing Shield versus Wyatts. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Is it going to be fucking the Wyatts versus the Shield and John Cena? I don't even know what the hell they're doing. I don't know. Tony?
You know what was really weird about this match? The fans seemed to be less into this than the other matches of the night, and I thought that this was actually a little bit more entertaining than a lot of the other ones. So it was a little annoying to me to sit there and hear them act perfectly fine during the Sheamus and Christian match, and a couple of the other ones. And then when it comes to this, they're chanting for Randy Savage, and they're doing the JBL chants and all the other kind of stuff. And I'm going to echo something that Drew had said when we were just chatting during the night itself while we were watching the show. This stuff is so passe now. It's not cool to do it anymore. It's not like you're being that crowd that first did it. You're just echoing what somebody else had done. It's not that funny anymore.
And it wasn't even that bad of a match.
No, it really wasn't. I mean, this was one of the more entertaining matches of the night that I would think. And it's got two of the biggest stars that are coming out of the younger group of people. Somebody like Roman Reigns, who people are really getting behind. And it was like, oh man, we get to see him and we get to see Bray Wyatt. They're going to have this real, intense match. We love these guys. We're cheering them. We're booing them. We're getting really in the Elimination Chamber match. Let's cheer somebody else. Who fucking cares? Like, I don't get that about the crowd tonight. That was really odd. I don't know if this was really the best way that they could have gone with things. I really just don't know what their plans are coming into WrestleMania when it comes to Dean Ambrose, if they're not going to split people up and do some kind of a Shield match, but I'm still interested in it. So at the very least, I'll give them that. And Roman Reigns still looking good. Bray Wyatt still looking good. So one of the better segments, I would say, throughout tonight, although the crowd probably completely disagrees with me.
Drew?
Well, at least if they have the backup plan of the Wyatts and the Shield, if Cena really is injured, he can't compete at Mania. So at least they had the foreshadow to maybe have something like this. But, you know, I Mike, I'm going to echo Mango a lot. You know, the crowd was annoying me. I thought it was a good match compared to what else we had tonight. The fans just kind of ruined it for me. And that's actually one of my low points for the night. The fans I don't know about them sometimes. Crazy bosses, as one might say. But, yeah, you know, it's just weird that they're still going with this, especially after Ambrose interfered in matches. Kind of like when Swagger interfered with the Langston match. I thought that we might see the split up there, and I thought the same thing right when Ambrose interfered into the match. I thought we might see more dissension into the split up, but it just seems like they keep on giving the idea, but they're not going through with it, and I just don't know if they're going to end up going through with it before WrestleMania at this point.
Hmm. Wago?
Honestly, I understand why the fans weren't into this match, or at least I wasn't into this match. So my issue with it is you're having Roman Reigns be the face in this match, or at least working how a face would, taking the beat down and coming back. It doesn't work. I like Roman Reigns when he's a badass whooping people's asses, and you normally get that when he's playing the heel role. I think if you're going to have him as a babyface, he needs to be considerably more offensive. Otherwise, his matches are dull. And then again, I just don't enjoy Bray Wyatt doing a beatdown on anyone, so that didn't help either. Back when he had that kick-ass match with Daniel Bryan, I felt a lot of the parts that Bray was doing the offense dragged, and it was very similar to that. But I might just be picky, and that's not the type of match I enjoy, but I can understand why the fans may have crapped over this.
Yeah, I enjoyed it in the end. I can agree. It had a very slow start. I don't think it was worthy of the random chants of the announcers' names and
definitely it wasn't like fucking Cena or Norton at the Rumble.
No.
So they were too harsh on it, but I can understand why they wasn't into it.
These fans just crossed the line too much. You know, the thing that always sticks out to me, I remember a few years ago when The Undertaker was cutting a promo and the fans started wanting him. Oh, yeah. My goodness. I wanted to wring every fan in that building's neck that night. I was embarrassed to be a wrestling fan that night.
You know what, though? I haven't heard the what chant in a goddamn long time.
No, the yes chant killed it, just as we were hoping. You know, the yes chant killed the what chant.
That's shocking, though. I mean, we thought that thing was going to be around forever.
What?
Well, it's like you just need one appearance from Stone Cold, and I'm pretty sure it'll come back.
Yeah.
You know, Stone Cold is pretty far gone from a lot of wrestling fans' memories. He hasn't made an appearance in a long time.
Somebody needs to call into his podcast and do that to him.
What?
Oh, goodness. Oh, this is dreadful. I'm receiving news that our guest doesn't want to come in.
What?
Yeah, they don't want to get out of their limo.
Thank God.
Yeah, there's some kind of like dispute here. I don't know what's going. All right, guys, I'm gonna try to work this out. I don't know what's going on here, but for now we're gonna start keeping things going towards the end here. We got a few minutes left. If you're listening in and you want to dial in and get your opinions on tonight's Raw, area code 760-512-7247 is the line. Like I said, we only got a couple minutes, so I'm gonna be passing around to the host to wrap up our high point, low point. But if you want to get those in, dial in. Tony, why don't you take us off first? Your high point, low point for tonight's show.
High point. Summer Rae, which is really kind of a shame because this should have been something just packed with high points. Low point, no tribute to Mabel or Viscera or whatever you want to call him. No mention whatsoever.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of low.
All the years that guy gave to the company, you're right. That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, fucking cold.
But we did get a video for, who was it, Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson, which, you know, all due respect to them. But
yeah,
still.
Fucking Black History Month, and he dies. You can't give him any props.
They better be putting him in the Hall of Fame. That's the only way you're going to make this up. Drew, your high point, low point.
High point, I think will be the Big E Cesaro match. Low point will be, yeah, I'm going to agree with Mango. No, maybe we'll visit a tribute. I thought they should have done that.
Yeah. Wago?
High point is the Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar segment, and I'm going to go ahead and say, fuck WWE, what the fuck, man? My low point is the disrespect to Viscera.
Indeed. My high point is also going to be the Brock Lesnar-Undertaker segment that closed the show. That was just... I don't often keep my eyes glued to the television during Raw these days because I'm often bouncing between taking notes and talking in the chat room and getting things prepared for the show. But during that whole last segment, I did not take my eyes away at all. I just sat back in my chair and just enjoyed the show. It was fantastic. And as far as my low point, you know, I'm just going to follow up with you guys. The disrespect towards Nelson Frazier Jr., the former Mabel, Viscera, Big Daddy V, whatever you want to call him. That guy was with them for like 13 years. He just busted his ass as often as he could. One of the tougher big guys that you saw in the company. I'm not going to say he was one of my favorites. I'm not going to become one of those people just because he died. I'm going to praise flowers out of his ass, but... I think the least you could have done is have one of those little things where you had the vignetted photo and say, in memory of Nelson Frazier. That's right. All you had to do. That's not much.
Just take 2 seconds to just go, we lost somebody over the past few days. Nelson Frazier, you might have known him as Mabel or Viscera or whatever.
Yeah, you didn't even need to make like a video package or anything. Just that. That's all you had to do, and they didn't do that. That's really a crying shame.
Especially considering how many times they repeated themselves with the network. It was like, oh, well, we got to look to see what's going on with the Kindle here. And, like, you know, they could have taken 5 of those seconds to do that. That's kind of a shame.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, they could have even used the network to their advantage. And if you want to see some of Viscera's best matches, WWE Network.
Yeah, no, but let's talk about all the ones that JBL lost instead. Oh, gosh. Guys, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on here. I promised you guys a guest, and we're having a problem here. He doesn't seem to want to come in. We don't have much time here. I guess we're going to have to continue trying to close out the show. I feel like I'm letting y'all down, but why don't we go ahead and start getting our closing words here and any plugs we want to put out there. Drew, why don't you start us off?
Dig the anime. Smart gut moment. Thank you, Josh. No plugs for me. Drew Crew. You get.
Excellent. If we skip Drew from now on.
I can see why you go to him first. He's like, let's just get Drew out the way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe I'll get... No, I'll surprise you next week. Maybe I'll actually bring something to the table that some of you might not expect, you know. Maybe I'll bring in my own guest host. You know, who knows?
Okay.
I'll be favors. You're going to live up with yellow.
Wago.
Thank you. Everyone, you guys can check out Addicted to Anime. We just had our review of Full Metal Alchemist, so you can go and check out the archived edition of that. Next review that we're going to be doing is for Elfin Lied. It's a horror anime with lots of really fucked up shit, so it's one to check out. We're planning on doing that for March 23rd, live 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Mega Powers Radio. Also check out the Facebook group, facebook.com/addictedanimefans. The community's always growing. We're looking for admins, so if you want to throw your hat in for that, let us know.
All right. Well, I don't know what he's talking about. iRadius just said, wait, what's the site? Oh, he wants to know where you can listen to Addicted to Anime. That's right here on Mega Powers Radio, man. If you go into our archives, you'll find Addicted to Anime episode 3, Full Metal Alchemist. It should only be like 2 or 3 episodes back. Mm-hmm. You can also find Addicted to Anime by searching on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. It's an easy show to find. All right, so Drew, you already went. We're not going back to you, Tony.
Man. All right, guys. SmartGalMoment.com is my wrestling website. Looking for more writers and a whole bunch of other different staff positions. So if you're interested in joining a wrestling website, go ahead, shoot me an email, send in your application. Smack Talk is the podcast for that website. You can find that at youtube.com/SmartGalMoment or iTunes and Stitcher as well. We are going to be talking about the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view review coming up later on this week. And doing all a bunch of normal stuff that we usually do there. Check out what I've got to say on Bleacher Report and look at all the other A Mango Tree stuff by looking at A Mango Tree related links.
All right, guys, super fantastic show. As we said, it's a historic day in wrestling history and a historic day for Mega Powers Radio. Certainly enjoyed everyone who tuned in this evening. And if you want to keep tuning in, join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw here on Mega Powers Radio. That web address, as always, is www.megapowersradio.com. We air immediately after the show goes off the air. We know you can also listen to that Backstage Pass, whatever they got going on the WWE Network. Hey, I'm sure it's great, but you know what? WWE Network is not going to give you the Raw opinions. They're always going to say everything was absolutely perfect and the biggest thing of all time. Nope, we're going to give you the truth. If something sucked, we're going to tell you. Not only are we going to tell you, we're going to allow you to call in and say why it sucked. So that's why this show will always be superior. Why you should be tuning into this Raw post show and not that one. That's just to say my piece about that.
Yeah, we are awesome.
But if for any reason you can't be here during the live show, we are available in archive form. First off, you can go to smartgoutmoment.com. You'll find the Raw post show having a feed right there on the front page. Super easy to find. Lots of extra show notes will always be put on there. So that'll be your number one source to find the archive version. You could also easily subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio just by searching for MPR Raw post show. That's MPR as in Mega Powers Radio Raw post show. And you can also easily find us on Facebook and Twitter to keep up to date with all the latest goings ons is facebook.com/Raw post show and Twitter at Raw post show. Oh, guys, our guest, I guess things got cleared up. He's coming in.
What?
He's coming in. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, guys, I told you we've been working out this for a long time. We're having a new member of the cast joining us here on the NPR Raw Post Show. Here he's coming through the door. I can hear him. Oh, there he is. All right, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to the latest member here of the Mega Powers Radio family. Ladies and gentlemen, Time Cow. Time Cow, it's great to have you, man, here, and we really appreciate you coming here onto the Raw Post Show.
Okay. Can I have an autograph when this is done?
Time Cow, can Drew White get an autograph? I guess that's a no. Sorry.
Oh man.
All right, well, unfortunately, Time Cow didn't get a lot of time with us this week, but next week, Time Cow will be in full effect here on the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. So we'll see y'all next time. Thank y'all for tuning in. I'm Mike Payton for Tony Mango, for Drew White, for Steven Wago, and for Time Cow. We'll see y'all next time on the NPR Raw Post Show.